Hey everyone, it's Cardiff. Welcome to The Indicator from Planet Money. Today on the show, we've got reporter Pamela Boykoff on again. Pamela, you have a follow-up for us on a story that you did on The Indicator just a few weeks ago.
I do. Thanks for having me back on, Cardiff.
Always a pleasure.
So, Cardiff, after I went to Japan to see how the government is doing trying to get more women into the workforce, I wanted to look at a country with a lot more experience in promoting equality in work. So I went to Norway.
But as for Norway, I mean, it has this reputation as being a sort of paradise for gender equality. So, like, I think some people might know that Norway offers generous paid maternity leave, has universal daycare. The prime minister of Norway is a woman, and half of her cabinet are women. And also, Norway ranks in second place on a major international measure of gender equality.
All of these things are true. But what I found out when I went there is that Norwegian business has this dirty little secret. There aren't very many female leaders.
Like executives, you mean?
Like executives. Only 22% of senior executives at Norwegian companies are women. At the CEO level, women are just one out of every 10.
Yeah, and we should note that this is a problem that is shared by nearby countries who also have similar social policies like the ones that Norway has. So countries like Sweden, Finland, and Iceland. And so some people have even started calling this the Nordic paradox.
Despite their reputation as bastions of gender equality, the percentage of female executives in these countries are not that different from here, where about 26% of executives and senior managers are women. That's according to the NGO Catalyst.
Okay, so today on The Indicator then, why is it that in countries that sit atop the global rankings of gender equality, there are so few female leaders in their businesses?
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Flatiron Books, publisher of Factfulness. President Barack Obama says it's a hopeful book about the potential for human progress. Read the New York Times bestseller, Factfulness, now available where books are sold. Support also comes from Gemini, the regulated exchange making it easy to add Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies to your portfolio, protecting your investments with oversight and state-of-the-art cybersecurity. Open a free account at gemini.com/indicator.
I wanted to learn more about gender equality policy in Norway, so I went straight to the top.
My name is Trine Skei Grande, and I'm Minister of Culture and Equal Rights in Norway.
It's literally Minister Grande's job to promote gender equality in Norway. And she believes all these expensive policies, like government-funded parental leave, universal daycare, they pay off.
More than 80% of Norwegian women who are in their prime working years participate in the workforce, and that compares to only a little over 70% here in the United States. And all those women, they help make Norway's economy bigger and grow faster.
I think that's the main reason for the Nordic countries to be as rich as they are that people are participating, and they are contributing into the to society and contributing with their ideas.
Okay, so Norway has high female participation in the workforce, but it is not translating to high numbers of women in business leadership. For a country that puts so much money and energy into promoting gender equality, that's surprising, disappointing, I think. And economists, of course, want to know if it's something about the policies themselves that might be holding women back from those leadership roles.
Cardiff, it looks like three factors are likely contributing to this. Long maternity leaves, a lack of buy-in from the private sector, and a gender-segregated workforce.
Okay.
Let's start with maternity leave. In Norway, many mothers end up taking more than 8 months off work after a child is born, and this is paid for by the government.
Women falls back in the development of their salary while they are having kids, even though we have the right law and all the structure around should say that it shouldn't be like that.
Economic research across a number of countries has shown that when college-educated women take long maternity leaves, it can negatively impact their future earnings and their career growth. One theory on why this happens is that managers and coworkers start thinking that women are less committed to their jobs.
Many of the same studies say there are a bunch of positive effects for moderate-length paid maternity leave, which I feel, Cardiff, I have to remind everyone, is not required by law here in the U.S. We are the only major developed country that does not provide mothers with universal access to paid maternity leave.
And as for Norway, we just want to be very clear. We are absolutely not saying that longer maternity leaves are bad or that they make women less committed to their jobs. We're reporting the effects on coworkers and on managers, which is that they sometimes perceive that women who take those longer maternity leaves are less committed to their jobs.
Minister Grande's idea for a way to help with this problem is to make paternity leaves longer. In Norway, the parental leave the government pays for includes a, quote, daddy quota. It's a certain number of weeks that can only be used by fathers. This was just extended. Now it's 15 to 19 weeks.
It's important to share it if we want the kids to have a normal relationship to both of the parents. But it's also important that when people hire a woman and hire a man, they should know that there are not going to be a difference in their participation at the workforce, even if they are going to have kids.
Now, this might sound like a nice idea, but Norway has actually had some form of the daddy quota since 1993. And so far, the research does not show that it has helped narrow the gender pay gap or promote female advancement in the workplace. But leaves are longer now, and more men are taking them, so it's something that economists want to keep studying.
Some people argue if long maternity leaves are hurting women's career prospect, maybe that's a sign it's the companies that need to change. Maybe they need to get better at reintegrating women when they come back from maternity leave, or change the corporate culture so women aren't penalized for taking that leave to begin with.
And that brings us to the second factor behind the shortage of female executives in Norway, a lack of commitment from the corporations themselves.
The state is so involved in promoting gender equity, some researchers think it led the corporate sector to slack off.
So in other words, the corporate sector was like, hey, government, you got this, so we'll leave it to you and we don't have to worry
about it. You do it. We're not going to take care of it. Here, you're already on it.
Okay.
The government even passed a law saying corporate boards of public companies must have at least 40% women. I talked to Berit Svensson about this. She's a prominent female executive in Norway.
And I think it's the lack of focus from the boards. Even if we have 40% women into the boards of all the stock-listed companies in Norway, the women in those boards haven't done the job to get in more women in top positions in Norway.
Svensson is a senior executive at a mobile payment company called Vipps, and 42% of the managers and executives at Vipps are women. Svensson says that one of the flaws in the way that people in Norway used to hire was that male executives would hire people just like themselves, and she hopes that that's going to change.
One of the things Vipps does to change this is they focus on recruiting. They think carefully about how they write job ads, where they place them. They insist that for every job, the final round includes one man and one woman.
When you are only searching in half of the population, there are so many potential very, very good leaders that never get into, you know, leadership positions.
Okay, and the third and last factor we're going to discuss is the gender-segregated workforce.
In Norway, a lot of the jobs women choose are in the public sector. For example, civil service, where maybe they perceive it's easier to balance a work life and a home life. There are a lot more female leaders in the public sector than in business, but private sector jobs tend to pay better, so this segregation makes the gender pay gap worse.
When women do go into the private sector, they tend to choose jobs like human resources or marketing, jobs that are less likely to lead to becoming a CEO. This sort of gender segregation tends to start earlier, as early as when people are in school. The Equality Minister of Norway, Minister Grande, she really wants to understand why this happens to begin with.
So we have now a big survey going on that gives us some idea how we can work with the kids to actually choose what they want and not what the society suspects them to want.
Berit Svensson, the executive at Vipps, also thinks it is really important because there aren't enough women going into technology, and she wants to see the industry start to nurture female leaders the same way it has for men.
We need much more role models that are standing up and saying, go into technology. You don't need to be a nerd. You know, you can see the big trends, you can sit on top of the company and be into top leadership, because knowing about technology is so crucial going forward, because technology are changing the society.
She's not just talking about Norway there. She thinks we need to focus on creating the next generation of female tech executives everywhere. All these issues, parental leave, corporate involvement, gender workplace segregation, they're issues for every country that wants an equal workforce.
Norway has a bit of a head start, though worth noting, also a long way to go. This episode of The Indicator was edited by Patty Hirsch and produced by Constanza Gallardo. Our intern is Willa Rubin, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.